KFKA and the Colorado Inn present Rams Weekly, an inside look at all things Rams football. Here's Brady Hull, Kevin Lytle, and Chris Abshire.
Welcome into Rams Weekly here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. I am Tanner Schwint, co-host of Good Morning NoCo, back with you, filling in for Brady Hull. An abbreviated show here today ahead of our pregame show for the UNC Bears taking on Montana State. Joining me, it is Kevin Lytle with the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, how are you, my friend?
Doing good. How are you today?
Oh, I couldn't be any better, buddy. Well, let's dive into this. When we talked on Tuesday ahead of that Nevada game, we knew it'd be really tough for the Rams to get a win on the road against Nevada. They hung in there tough. I mean, I think it was a three-point ball game with 3:11 left in the game. But at the end of it, Nevada just pulled away and wins this thing 80-69. What are a couple of your big takeaways from this game, Kevin?
A lot of it is, you know, similar to what we've talked about and what we talked about last week. You know, we kept using that word consistency. And then CSU lost to San Jose State. And then that post game, Isaiah Stevens used that word like 10 times. And that's again what we saw last night. You know, in pretty significant chunks of time, CSU was quite good. I mean, they were really the first 15 minutes or maybe 12 minutes of the second half, CSU was really dominant, kind of controlled the game. But really bad into the first half and even worse into the second half, and CSU loses. That's, you know, what this team is right now. They can do it well in chunks, but not consistently.
Well, I talked with one of the reporters over there at the Colorado this morning on Good Morning NoCo, Miles Blumhardt, and he seems to be kind of in the same boat as me right now. And listen, there's still a ton of time for the Rams to turn it around, but right now this Rams team is just not a good basketball team. They're not playing like a good basketball team. He seemed to have, he didn't take the injuries into account as much as kind of what you're kind of thinking still, Kevin. How big of a role are these injuries really playing, or even when they do get back to full health, is this just the kind of team that we're going to see, an up and down team?
Well, I mean, three of their top eight guys are out right now, or have been pretty much consistently. If you look at, we could go through the schedule if we really want to take the time, but pretty much every game for pretty much the whole season, they've had at least two to three, I think even occasionally four of the top, you know, what would be eight or nine guys out. So, you can't discard that. It's incredibly significant. But, you know, this team, you know, they kind of are what they are now. The guys that are now, you know, out injured are pretty much out for the season probably. And the guys that played last night is pretty much what the rotation is going to be. So if nothing else, I think it's good that they'll be able to, you know, have some consistency and rhythm to just who's on the court as opposed to constant changing. But it's going to impact them. I mean, they only have two big men now because their other two big men are both hurt and out probably for the season. So, you know, it plays a role. You know, Josiah Strong, that was expected to be a huge part of this team, basically hasn't really played all year, you know, because of illness and everything. So it absolutely plays a role. But like you say, you can't, you know, no one cares. You know,
no one cares, right?
Care.
You got to go win. Yeah,
you know, opponents don't care. And so the guys on the court do need to, you know, take a stranglehold of, you know, their opportunity. Some of them are probably playing more minutes than, you know, they expected. And, you know, that's not an opportunity that comes every day in college basketball. So you have to take it.
No, you do. And I mean, the Rams picked, yeah, maybe the worst year in a long time to start off conference play 0-3. Because as we've just seen, you know, even in the last week, we saw Fresno State go ahead and beat the last undefeated team in New Mexico in the country. This is the deepest the Mountain West has been in a long time, Kevin. The Rams just picked a horrible year to start out the conference play 0-3 and dig themselves that hole.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's a tough thing. Good thing, if you will, is that these first three games were always going to be very tough. At New Mexico and at Nevada, you know, two of your first three was going to be very difficult, even under the best of circumstances. So you kind of knew CSU would probably struggle out of the gate. Now, obviously, you know, hope/expect to beat San Jose State at home. You know, hope to maybe get one of those road games. But now CSU enters a stretch where it looks a little bit more manageable. You know, Fresno State at home, obviously, as you mentioned, they're very dangerous. They just beat New Mexico. But, you know, a team you hope you can beat. Air Force at home, you need to be able to win that one. Obviously, UNLV on the road is tough. But you have a lot of home games over the next couple weeks where maybe you can, you know, find your footing a little bit because, yeah, right now, obviously, it's quite a big hole CSU's in.
No, it is, and, you know, like you said, more manageable maybe for the upcoming games, and we'll dive into that in just a little bit, but I want to go back to a point, and that's on me for missing this, but I want to go back to a point that you said, you know, they're getting more minutes than what they're used to. Those guys aren't really even the guys that I'm paying attention to. The ones that have been the ones who I think need to step up if CSU wants to turn this thing around is Isaiah Rivera and John Tanjay. Listen, they were four of 15 combined shooting on Wednesday night against Nevada. That's just not going to cut it. Patrick Cartier continues to pick up and play well in losses for some reason, like we talked about last week. But Rivera and Tanjay, I think if the Rams want to get this thing turned around, for me, need to be a whole lot better to run alongside Isaiah Stevens.
Yeah, definitely true. And I believe, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it's been maybe four games that John Tanjay scored in single digits, and CSU's lost all of them. That kind of speaks exactly what you're saying. He has to be solid. And the last several games, he hasn't shot it well. He actually did against New Mexico, but most of those, honestly, came kind of late. So I think that percentage was a little misleading. But overall, he's not shooting it over the last couple weeks. You kind of hope it's one of those that's just sort of a blip, and you know, in the grand scheme, it'll, you know, not look like much. But no doubt, you need more from him. You need more from Rivera. The small bit of good news is Jaylen Lake, I thought, played pretty well last night, hit a couple threes, and he defended well. You're going to need him on both sides of the ball to play a big role. And then the other big good news was Tavy Jackson looked a lot more like himself last night as he kind of gets back from injury. You know, had a couple nice steals, you know, got to the paint a little bit. So you need, you know, those four guys. I think you're right, you know, probably Tanjay most important, and then, you know, down through Lake, Rivera and Jackson need to contribute at a pretty significant level and more consistent. Again, I'm going to keep saying it, but more consistent level, because they've all done it in spurts. You just need more of them doing it as a group together.
Well, and when the ball just won't go in, you know, I get it. Maybe you're not as talented offensively as what you wanted to be. The big takeaway for me, Kevin, is that the defense has been poor. I mean, you give up 80 to Nevada, 78 to San Jose State, 88 to New Mexico, 73 to USC. The win that they had against St. Mary's, only giving up 60 points. This team's going to have a whole lot more success if they can play, you know, these games in the 60s a little bit instead of trying to run and gun and outscore people.
Yeah, there's no doubt that defense, I think, is the number one thing that needs to get better. They're 198 in Division One in KenPom's deficiency rating is kind of accurate there, but defensive efficiency rating, and that has to be better. I mean, this team isn't going to be top 10 in the country defensively, but you have to be a lot better. And a lot of it, you know, as we talked about last week, is some just better attention to detail. Yeah, you do have some roster deficiencies now. You know, there's nothing you can do with two big men out. You're going to have, you know, size troubles at times. But you can combat that in ways, and you can combat the three-point shooting. They just need to be better at keeping teams from having, you know, really good looks and making teams more uncomfortable. Too often, teams are just kind of able to do what they want to do right now. So that has to fix. You know, the offensive numbers are decent, but, you know, again, they're not electric enough scoring-wise that they can just, you know, win shootouts all the time.
No, they can't, and I would have to imagine, and you know, you've been around this program more than anybody else who's not directly involved with it, but I would have to imagine that's what Nico Medved's just coaching up right now, is better defensive schematics, finding ways to do that, and then let the offense go through Isaiah Stevens. But is that something that Medved's preaching big time right now, is the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, no doubt. That's where it starts. And, you know, in the last couple games before last night, it had been guards that had lit CSU up. And again, you know, some people just want to roll their eyes and say, stop talking about injuries. But CSU had been missing their best three perimeter defenders. And so guards were lining them up. So the good news is, again, Lake is back, Jackson's back. You know, Strong would have been one of those guys, but he's not going to be back. But at least they have some of those pieces, and now, you know, how can they, you know, again, with a consistent lineup, put things together? Because, as you know, defense, a lot of it is, you know, effort and communication and everyone being in the right place and tied together. Because, you know, one guy can be busting their butt on defense, but if another guy loses their man, it doesn't matter. So that's where just lineup chemistry can help, of just having the same guys on the floor together. So, again, hopefully for CSU, that's what you're going to get over these next couple weeks, as this, you know, kind of the nine guys who are healthy and available can play and piece games together to, you know, as a unit, they'll get used to each other a little bit more.
Yeah, it's got to happen. And you know, the Nico Medved conversations, I'm even starting to see him a little bit pop up on Twitter and things like that. But we were spoiled last year with a really good CSU Rams team that ended up going to the big dance. But let's talk a little bit more about Nico Medved and, you know, and the approach and how the community's perceiving him right now after a little bit of a tough run, a four-game losing streak for the CSU Rams. It's Rams Weekly right here on North Dakota's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back into an abbreviated Rams Weekly here today. I'm Tanner Schwenk, co-host of Good Morning NOCO here on KFKA. Kevin Lytle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and joining us, we've got pregame with Jerry Schimmel with UNC taking on Montana State. Montana State, of course, the team that knocked them out of the Big Sky Tournament in the championship game last year. So stay tuned for that for all you college basketball fans. But we're talking about the CSU Rams right now. Kevin, this Nico Medved stuff is really irritating to see. You know, people say, no, is he in trouble with his job and stuff like that? I don't think it should be anywhere close to that. Is it fair for people to sit back and say, all right, now I'm interested to see how Nico Medved goes about a team that right now is 500 and on a four-game losing streak? I'm excited and intrigued to see how he handles this.
Yeah, I mean, anyone that's clamoring at any level for any type of change or saying there's any trouble is, you know, frankly, just a Twitter jockey who likes to create noise, but either doesn't know or doesn't care how things actually operate. Obviously, there's no trouble at all. I do think this is one where the online crowd likes to be heard loudly, but, you know, the vast majority of fans, I think, are quite happy with Medved. Yeah, everyone's bummed that the season's going the way it is. No one wanted this. But your vast, vast majority of CSU fans are very confident that, you know, this program, big picture. But yeah, I think it's a fair thing to say and you know, be curious about how will this, you know, Medved and this staff handle, you know, the rest of this season. You know, how much better can they make this team? Because again, right now, like we've all said, it's pretty clear this is not a good team right now. They're deficient in a lot of ways, but you know, teams can change and grow and evolve over the course of a season. How much this one can do, I think, is going to be really fascinating.
Where's your current outlook for this? Is CSU right now how they are? Are they a bottom three team in the Mountain West? Are they still middle of the pack? Where have your expectations gone since this losing streak they've gone on?
Yeah, I don't think, you know, near the bottom right now. Frankly, most likely I'd say in the 6-8. Seed range for the, you know, Mountain West tournament. You know, we'll know a lot more within the next 2 weeks or really week, as they have some winnable games. But I think this, if I had to bet right now, kind of a middle pack team is where they'll finish.
Let me ask you a stupid question for this early in January. Is this game against Fresno State on Saturday, is it a must win?
No.
Not anywhere close for you?
Because, frankly, the stakes are fairly low. If you lose, it's just another really frustrating game. But, you know, you're not going much of anywhere at the moment anyways. And if you win, obviously it's nice and, you know, could potentially be a kickstart. But, this team's not gaining an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament, that's for certain. So, no, I don't think it's even close.
So right now, it's just about learning and getting this team some camaraderie. And like you said, here's our trigger word again, consistency. You know, the only path right now, I think, that everybody sees is by winning the Mountain West tournament, that is. And we'll see if they can do that. But, you know, is it possible that they can get this thing straightened out? And with some consistency there, they can start to win these games? I'm not so sold on it, Kevin, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think this team's going to go finish top three in the Mountain West or anything like that. I still think it's going to end up a pretty decent squad. That's what's funky. Kind of individually, I like a lot of the pieces, but collectively, they just aren't working great right now. But I think they'll find a way to make it work, decent. Again, I'm not saying win the Mountain West, regular season title or anything, but be much, better and find better success than we've seen, over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it, to be quite, frank, it can't get a whole lot worse than what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. And so give us some things to watch for the Fresno State game. It looks like Isaiah Moore is going to be the guy to watch for Fresno State. Is that right?
Yeah, Fresno, they're one of those teams that you kind of know what you're getting with them. Obviously Orlando Robinson was the centerpiece the last several years, but their style is the same. They play really good defense, pretty slow pace, tend to be pretty low scoring games. So Pay's going to be one to watch. I'm kind of fascinated to see what CSU does, again, now that they're kind of have their rotation and also no big men. Well, big men. The initial plan at the start of the season, before these injuries and everything, was they're going to play really, really fast, get up and down. Does that change now? Can you not do that because of some of the limitations, or because you're so guard heavy, do you kick that up even more? So I'm kind of fascinated to see what CSU wants to do and how they can do against Fresno State. Either way, even if CSU wants to play slower than they originally did, they still want to play faster than Fresno State because most teams do. So that's really a key thing to watch. And then, again, like we said, I think most important is within the game, teams are going to go on runs. That's what basketball is. But can CSU stop the bleeding and make it, Fresno have a 6-0 run instead of an 11-0 run? That's what's killed CSU this year.
No, it has. For me personally, I think you got to lean into that. If that was your original plan at the beginning of the year, was just to run and gun and fly all over the place and try and outrun teams, I think that's what you got to try and do. I mean, you've got the best point guard in the Mountain West, and I think in everybody's opinion, in Isaiah Stevens. So get out on the, get out and run and let him take care of the ball and kind of lead people around doing that. I think that's where they need to go, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I think. I mean, you look at the nine guys that they have available, or nine scholarship guys that they have available, and, it seems like that group would best fit that type of system. So, yeah, that's kind of what I expect. And, yeah, the idea of, Tavy Jackson and Isaiah Stevens, kind of running wild at pace, that sounds pretty fun, in the season right now where things are kind of gloomy, that's a pretty exciting prospect.
I just want to see Patrick Cartier have a hell of a game and a win.
Yeah, I mean, I really like what he's doing. He was great last night.
Right.
I think he needs to improve defensively. He needs to be better on the boards, but he's such a smooth scorer. And I think he's going to be an important piece. Obviously, I'm speaking way ahead now, but, CSU can get a really good, true center next year and have Cartier play a four. I think that could be a really exciting prospect. He's a good player, but yeah, it is kind of funny how he's been scoring a pretty good amount in losses.
Another 18 points for him against Nevada, yep. And they come up short. But Kevin, what are you going to be working on here in the coming days? We only got a couple of minutes left here. What do you got coming out on the Coloradoan?
Yeah, so we got a pretty fun doubleheader at Moby Saturday. Not only is it the men playing Fresno State, but the women before that are hosting New Mexico, so kind of a fun doubleheader, and I'll be at both those games, and we'll be writing about, obviously, a men's game, but also have some feature stories coming on the women's team, and especially their star point guard, who is putting up some crazy, crazy numbers right now.
Yeah, McKenna Hofschild, she was on the whole show earlier today, but, you know, 21.6 points per game, 3.5 rebounds, 8 assists. That is just absolutely insane what she's doing over there. She's tearing it up for CSU, but that's always a good thing. I mean, that just feeds the basketball culture when you have somebody like that. And you were talking, Kevin, possibly, you know, should be getting some consideration for All-American.
Yeah, I mean, I think she should be. You look at her numbers, her points, her assists, assist to turnover, three-point shooting. It's all, you know, top levels in the country. So she should be in that conversation. We'll see how much the, you know, disrespect to the Mountain West on the women's side plays a factor. But she really should be in those conversations.
Yeah, 61.1% from the three-point line, man. That is insane. Kevin, 10 shots from the three-point line. How many are you making?
Is anyone defending me?
No,
is anyone watching?
Wide open, but you have to rotate from corner to the top of the key to the corner.
10 in empty gym, presuming I get some warm-up and whatnot. I probably make 5 or 6.
5 or 6? All right. Yeah, no, I'm going to make 2 or 3, I think. But I get to heckle you. Did I tell you that part?
Oh, well, that'll make 10.
Kevin Lila, the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Thanks so much, my friend. I'm Tanner Schwent, co-host of Good Morning NOCO, in for Brady Hall. It is the UNC Bears pregame show coming up next with Jerry Schimmel, ahead of Montana State and UNC, right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 to 1310 KFKA.